Now, next, we'd like to show you even more powerful tools in an even more powerful release for power geeks. And we have Steve Jones, the CTO from Capgemini here, and Charles Beckham, our technical director for tools. And we showed a pre-alpha of this last year at Java 1. And Steve got very excited and actually, you know, was the main instigator for us getting a lot of this work done and kept on top of us and gave us feedback on the code, right, and took snapshots, and it was really great working with you, Steve. And Charles is here because he kind of bet his job on whether or not this would be, you know, ready for a demo. So, Steve, what are your developers working on today?
Well, we tend to work on those big, the beautiful systems that were referred to earlier, you know, big, complex. I mean, great example, the National Rail Reservation System in the UK. Big Java system integrating 27 companies, big legacy backends, and we've got to do 1.5 billion transactions a year. So that's the sort of challenge. And the real thing we've had, why we're excited about it, was the tools have tended not to help. We've tended to be just writing inside at the low level.
Okay. What about EE5 and NetBeans 5 for web services?
I mean, that really helps us in terms of the facilities you're getting, but again, we've got complexity in terms of orchestrating a lot of web services, not all on the Java platform. Mm-hmm. It's helping with that sort of orchestration complexity. We need some help.
Okay, Charles, you have something to show us?
Yes, boss, I think I do. I'm okay. So happy to have something real to show you after we've shown you some alpha stuff previously. I'd like to quickly show you some of the features that we've introduced in the Enterprise Pack that will help you in building composite applications. I'm going to do it by actually creating a sample project that we provide with the product that will allow us to get a quick look at the tooling capabilities. Now, when I created this new project, it created actually two projects. You can see in the first project, a synchronous sample project, we actually have a process that is a Hello World Echo service to a partner, and you can see how we're already aggregating all the artifacts. You have your BIPL, you have your WSDL, your schemas coming together, as well as we have another project type, which is called the Composite Application Project. And this is where we'll be adding multiple projects for a composition of larger applications that then we'll deploy. And that very simply, I can simply add that project to the composite application project, and to show you and demonstrate it, I will actually just deploy it to the application server. And it's that type of ease of use in terms of assembling and deploying to the integrated runtime that is available in the IDE as well as on EESDK that you can download now. So that gives you an idea of the ease of use there. But what I want to do is just show you how easy it is to manipulate the orchestration here of these services. And I want to make some modifications. So I want to grab one of the BIPL 2.0 constructs and actually modify my diagram by placing an if statement, a conditional logic there. So once I place that in, what I want to do now is actually use the mapper feature we have to do XPath expression for the assignment of the variables. However, I don't want to have to go in and manually work with XPath, so I can just use a mapper to do this. So I'm going to take an equal function, and I'm going to take a string literal here, and I'm simply going to wire these up. And now I've made the changes that I need to do there now. I want to refactor the process now by move that previous assigned statement now up into the if condition, as well as add another assigned statement for treating the variable when I reach the if condition, and I'll show you how we wire that up very quickly. So in this case, what I want to do is use a string function, a concatenation function, and then I can just simply grab and wire things up like I've been doing, and now I've actually completed the modification, and I could go in here and redeploy my project now and actually see the new stuff coming out.
So what do you think, Steve?
That's fantastic. I mean, those are exactly the orchestration challenges. Now, another challenge we have is a great example, Lloyd's Pharmacy. First use of electronic prescriptions in the UK in a pharmacy system, 2,000 Java desktops. Mm-hmm. Now those industry and government schemas, they get hideous. You talk about not wanting to use XML, what have you got that helps with those great big schemas?
Well, you better show us, Charles.
Yes, boss. I'm glad to say that I have something to show Steve in the area of XML.
Nervous about this part?
Yes.
Okay.
Well, actually, I'm not, because I think you're really going to like this.
Okay.
Because XML tools are so crucial to working in the SOA world for building composite applications.
Absolutely.
Because everything is message-based between the services. But one of the difficulties is for people to be experts at schema. Now, Steve, all your developers are schema experts, I assume, right?
Hey, we've got some guys who like doing that stuff, but I think I speak for the majority in terms of I don't want to see it.
All right, so that's the way most developers are. So I'm going to show you what we provide for schema, working with schema. I'm going to create a new schema file here in this project. And you can see at the source, there's nothing here. It's just a base thing. So what we have is the ability to allow a developer to build up a schema or work with a schema in looking at the abstract message of the key of what it is, separating the infrastructure away from the schema so they can get an idea. For instance, right here, I can just simply grab and drag and drop elements and actually create what I would expect my message to look like. I can add attributes and make this as complex as I want. And as I'm doing that, we actually will take that concept and then actually generate the schema infrastructure that is represented by this abstract instance view of what a schema instance would look like. So this is something that allows you to very quickly work with schema. Now, you mentioned industrial strength schemas. Yes. This is a very simple schema. I want to open up a schema that is bigger. Here, for instance, I have the OTA Open Travel Alliance schema for travel reservation. You're probably familiar with
it,
right?
Yeah, pretty familiar with that.
So this particular schema here, if I collapse it, we can see that it is 17,000 lines of code, about a megabyte of data that this schema is. So this is very, very big. If we take this schema and try to just look through the code, it's very difficult to understand what's going on here. If we look at this same schema in the instance view, we're able to drill down and actually get a sense of what this schema is really about and what is the part about it of the schema for me as a developer that's important, separating out the infrastructure of schema. So there's one other thing I want to show you. And that is that even in this complex schema, I can navigate very quickly horizontally in understanding the schema so I can get context of it. And then there's one other really cool thing that I want to show you. In Java, we've had the concept of refactoring in the Java language. So what we're doing now is using that same technology and applying it to refactoring in XML vocabularies. If I take this very complex schema here, and I'm able to do a search for a particular word or item, in this case I typed in week, I can go to the day of the week and say, show me all the usages associated with this. Let me bring that up and rerun it. And you can see I get a node here that shows me all the areas that it's used. And on the right-hand side, or your left-hand side, I get a visual representation. Each one of that cloud is a file. And then I can see the relationships and the where use, and then I'll be able to refactor upon that. And that's what I have to show you guys.
That's excellent.
All right. Well.
No, I think that is absolutely fantastic. I mean, it's particularly, I have to say, the schemes in terms of the dependencies on some of those industry things. Now, every year I turn up. Every year, Charles shows me cool stuff. Then I ask you, when do I get my hands on it?
Mm-hmm.
And every year, it's going to be in the future, and it's going to be way out. So is this before or after Longhorn server ships?
Ooh, dagger.
It's before, and I guess Charles gets to keep his job that he bet on it, because this is available today and on the website.
And how much?
It's free. It's NetBeans. So it's open
available
source.
Today and on the website.
Well done.
Thank you. Thank you guys for helping. Thank you, Steve. And thank you for Capgemini endorsing NetBeans as well. Thank you very much.
Thanks very much.
All right. Okay. Another contribution. You should get used to this now. We're driving the community. If you're interested in seeing how what's under the hood here for a Bipple engine, and you notice that every time even Charles said Bipple, he started to smile. You can't say that word without smiling. The BIPL engine has been open sourced into the open ESB community on java.net. That's part of the overarching EE community there. It's there today. We're also upping the ante. We're open sourcing our Java System Portal server. This will be over time. It'll be piece by piece. So we will be building a portal community out there, also under the EE umbrella. So there's lots and lots of code going on out there. Your call to action. Now it should be obvious, right? Download the bundle. The bundle, this is the third bundle on the EE page. It has the BIPL engine, it has the enterprise pack, it has everything you need to get started and use it today. It's what you saw demoed just now. Okay? If you'd like to see what's under the hood, join the OpenESB community. Right, you can participate in the community. Again, tooling's going to be done on netbeans.org, and we're back to certification. You can see how all these things are building on the EE platform and why it would be great to be certified on the EE platform. Now, since we put everything under this umbrella, we decided to change the name out on java.net and kind of get this straightened out in terms of all the communities, all the sub-communities that are out there, and call it openjava.ee, and that's where we'll be putting a lot of the open source projects as they come along. So today we're announcing the new name out there. It's going to be called openjava.ee. Everything runs on java.ee Upstack in middleware. So that's a big announcement today. Can we go back one slide? Okay, it's okay. It's okay, we'll go forward. Of course, now everybody's app server requires world-class VM support, and we have Tiger. But we're also working on Java SE6 Mustang. It's under construction now. Okay? And Graham Hamilton's going to cover the in-depth technical part in the technical session, but I wanted to mention some of the main drivers behind Mustang and Java SE6. And of course, it's compatibility and stability and quality. That's been the mantra for many releases. And management and monitoring, and especially JSR 223, the scripting support. And if you don't want to miss Graham's presentation, because there's some really cool scripting demos in there, and you're going to be blown away by what Graham shows you and what they've been working on. Again, we've also been working on performance, look and feel. There's new web services in there. And the beta is out there today. Go and get it. Use the beta. It's ready. Now we have sort of a cutting-edge demo. Really cutting edge. We're going to be taking Java SE6 Swing and Web 2.0. So Swing and a mashup is a smashup. We have Richard Blair and Roman Guy today. And this is really cutting edge code, right? This is a nightly build from Mustang, isn't it?
Exactly, Jeff. So the demo you're about to see is called Aerith. And we ran it successfully on Windows and Mac OS X. The purpose of this demo is twofold. First, we want to show that we can create powerful and very good-looking Swing applications today. You do not have to wait for future versions of the operating systems or new technologies. Everything you'll see is available today, and it's pure Java. Secondly, we want to see that rich client applications can also use the web services very efficiently, mm-hmm. and that you can bring the best of both worlds in a single app to enhance the user experience. So Richard is going to fire up the application.
And attention, this is really cool.
Yeah. So this application is a trip report editor. The purpose is to pick pictures that you have on your Flickr account. So Flickr is a photo sharing web service. And put them on the map so you can share with your friends or your family your trips. So Richard just logged in into my Flickr account, and we are going live. We are actually retrieving the pictures right now. The thing to know is that we are actually using our customized cache. So if something goes wrong with the network, everything will work just fine.
Okay.
So here you go. This is the first screen of the application. We have several tasks at the top. And the interesting thing to know about those tasks is that they use only regular Swing components that we customized to create this great look in the application. And when Richard is moving the mouse over those components, mm-hmm. you can see some animations, some really modern effects. The component at the bottom, where you see the nice pictures, is actually a fully customized component that we've written from scratch. So with the power and the flexibility of Swing, you can reuse the existing components or create your own. The first step of this demo is to show you some pictures from one of the albums. So on the right, you have a list of the albums on the Flickr account. This is, once again, a regular Swing components that we customized. Actually, everything on the screen is our regular Swing components that we customized. And we have a lot of animations. Mm-hmm. We have nice effects like drop shadows, fade-ins, fade-outs.
All Swing components.
All Swing components. And everything you see is using open source libraries that we developed at Sun and that are available today on java.net. So, Rich, go ahead and pick the first album, please. Thank you. So here we are. We have another interesting thing. This is a 3D slideshow made with OpenGL and another open source project called Joggle. It's the Java bindings for the OpenGL API. And the very, very interesting thing about Joggle is that you can mix seamlessly Swing and the 3D in the same window. There is no heavyweight component. If you take a look at the buttons at the bottom of the screen, at the bottom left, those are actually J buttons. Those are the Swing buttons. And we have no rendering issue. You can see the reflection of the picture shine through the container of the buttons. So everything works just fine. Once again, we have some animations at the top to make the user experience better. Can you go back to the photos?
Sure.
Yes, we have those crossfades between the screens. Mm-hmm. So to enhance the user experience. Those stuff are, you can do that with web pages, but they are harder to do on full screens like that. So Rich is going to explain now the actual trip report creation part.
Okay.
Right. So Roman went on this big trip back in February. It covered like 3,000 miles of driving and picture taking. And he really wanted to be able to share this with people, with us in the office and with the other people online. He looked for tools to help him do that and didn't really find any. So we thought, hey, this would make a great application for us to write. So this is it. What we have across the top are a bunch of the photos from Roman's Flickr account for the trip that he went on. And then as you see, we have a Google Maps component running in Swing. Mm-hmm. And we can go ahead and annotate it and really record our trip. So Roman's going to go ahead and zoom in a bit. One of the things that we have on here is the ability to, of course, add markers to the map, just like you would expect. And we also are integrated with the Yahoo search for getting a geolocation for an item. So, in fact, one of the places where we're probably going to go later today is the Thirsty Bear. So, Roman, why don't you go ahead and...
Second time for the Thirsty Bear to see. Well,
yeah, you know, I mean, with a last name like Bear, what can you do? Go ahead and he does that search. And really what we're trying to point out here is how easy it is to do these sort of smash-ups, to be able to use Swing to interact with these web services. Now, Roman's going to stick down a little waypoint. You look at this component. This is a normal Swing component. It has translucency. It has a glossy effect. It has rounded rectangle edges. Obviously, you know, we spent some time customizing it, but not as much time as you might expect. It was really 3 days and three nights of solid coding to get most of the shell in place. It looks really good. So one of the other things, of course, we have drag and drop. We have... even if Roman goes out, we've got animated drag and drops for, you know, showing if it's accepted or rejected or being able to drop something on these waypoints. Mm-hmm. Just a lot of really cool effects that we can do in Swing. That particular effect, that animation, was literally, that was a 2-minute installation of code. It was just 5-6 lines of code. Very easy to do. So we've got our map on here. We've got our little waypoints. It'd really be nice if we could draw where we've been at. And I guess that was the crux of this whole application anyway. So we, using the power of Java 2D, we can just draw our little path right on top of the map itself. So as you can imagine, this is a pretty nice thing for being able to put together your application, but really it doesn't mean anything if we can't share it.
Yep.
That's really what it's about. So we've actually put together Roman's actual trip. This is his actual trip.
Okay.
And we take a look at that thing, and it was a big, big trip. And a lot of little waypoints along the way.
A lot of meandering, yeah.
Yeah, he really, I think, went out of his way to find nooks and crannies that most of us probably haven't even seen here in the U.S.
That's why he started at the Thirsty Bear? Okay.
That's right. And as you can see, just lots of photos and things. So what we do is we have a publish button on here, which will let us bundle this whole thing up as an applet, and then you can publish it on some website. And it'll also use Mustang's features to be able to open up your email client and send an email straight to whoever you're interested in. Mm-hmm. And then they'll get the little URL, they can click it, and they can watch your trip. But what we're going to do is we're going to click the preview button, which kind of simulates the process, but in a local computer so that we can.
So you're disconnected now.
Yeah, and Roman, yeah, did you go and disconnect?
Oh,
one of the things that we have in a rich client environment like this is the ability to run offline.
Mm-hmm.
And so we really wanted to kind of demonstrate that. So we're going to go ahead and disconnect now from the internet and, well, play the little movie and
okay,
see where Roman went. And again, this is all running inside of an applet. So it's really, I thought it was really cool. I didn't know we could do this much stuff. Doing in the middle of this. Looks great.
That's really it cool. Well, thank
really
you very much.
Yeah,
you bet. Really exciting. I told you that would be cool. All done with Mustang and Swing components. So, really cool. Would like to recognize our Mustang community stars here as well. There's quite a few of them. This community as well has grown by leaps and bounds. I'd like to see a raise of hands of everybody out there who's a member and has been contributing to the Mustang effort. Hands up. Okay, there's your first challenge, the one that Rich gave you earlier. You need to join this JDK community and get involved and help us here. These stars have been helping us for quite a while, and several of them are here at the conference. So if you meet him and greet him. We'd also like to thank the whole community. Like I said, this has been growing by leaps and bounds. We have over 100,000 visitors a month to the JDK community on Mustang, and there's lots left to do there. Mustang isn't out yet, so you can make lots of contributions. Bug fixes, reviewing source code. We have new projects going on. Here's your call to action. Get the beta. It's ready today. Join the Mustang community. There's still a lot to do in Mustang. Now, if you missed the early days of Mustang, we also have Dolphin coming up. That's the next release. It's starting now in its planning. You can participate in the planning of the next release. And if you like the demo you saw here, that's under javadesktop.org. And the software you saw will be on the website and java.net. And of course, you can get it, you can play it, you can use it, and you can watch what's going on in that community. I'd also like to take a minute to talk about the Sun real-time app server. If you come to James's keynote on Friday, you're going to see an awesome demonstration of a real-time app server. You saw the inverted pendulum here at Java 1 several years ago. This is the coupling of Java SE and Java EE together in a real-time app server with performance characteristics that you could use. So you can either stop by the pod in the pavilion or come to James's keynote. This is a really rocking and rolling piece of software. Now, let's review again. Everybody's going to join the community process. Join java.jcp.org. Even if you don't want to join, if you just go to jcp.org and read the executive summary, you'll know how the process works. You'll understand the parts of the process, how a specification is moved through this open standard. That's important. If you do it, it only takes about 20 minutes to read it. You'll be ahead of a lot of Java developers. Collaboration. If you'd like to collaborate, if you'd like to start your own project on Java, collaborate in an existing project, the place to go is java.net. It is the collaboration site for Java. If you're not into collaboration, you just want to use the final bits or the beta bits, and you want to get the information on the platform, java.sun.com. And of course, NetBeans, we've said so many times in this presentation, it's netbeans.org for tools. And something we didn't cover, OpenSolaris, that opensolaris.org, that community is open for business. And if you're interested in working on operating systems, the best open operating system in the world, we're welcoming new members to opensolaris.org. Now that's a lot to remember, and again, it'll be on my slides on the website. If you'd like the simplest way to remember, one-stop shopping that we started with, this is one-stop shopping, register at developers.sun.com. That's the home of the Sun Developer Network. Right? And you can see everything that's going on at all the other sites. You can sign up for newsletters and be notified of activity in the JCP, in the Java platform, Sun products, Sun software, Sun hardware, sysadmins. It's all there on developers.sun.com. So if you remember anything from this presentation, besides the Swing components, right, and the beer, and all the pet names, is go and register at developers.sun.com. And I'd like to invite all of you, if you're from out of town or from other international areas, we just finished our 2006 world tour of SunTech Days. SunTech Days is our smaller version of Java 1 that tours the world. And we're about to start our 2007 world tour. And that's led by our evangelist team here at Sun. They're the ones here teaching the hands-on labs, and they do an excellent job. And they have a fun time, and we go around the world again next year. And with that, I'd like to thank you all for the listening to the presentations and the demos especially. And John Gage, why don't you get it back on up here?
Thank you, Jeff. You can hold on to that. That's a black box. I don't need a black box. That was great, Jeff. And to recap the recap, each of those sessions that you saw, if you took your pen and wrote people's names down, you can go into the tool and search because they're going to be presenting again and again and again. So, brief bulletin. Tango. You could go use the tool, the schedule tool, but there are three sessions, one today, two tomorrow. Go look up Tango, TS4661 is an example, or you could look up the name of the presenter. So this was Romain Guy and Richard Baer, G-U-Y or B-A-I-R, see what they're talking about for the rest of the week. Or go look up Craig McClanahan, remember Craig that did the Google Map beer sites, that's Ajax, and all of the combination of technologies that go into Web 2.0, or Nick Kassem, K-A-S-S-E-M, look him up because that's more of the Tango presentations. I'm going to show you one device which in some way brings all of this together. When you saw Ed Zander, former vice president of software at Sun, talk about his new role at Motorola, it shows that if you start as the vice president of software at Sun, lose some weight and lose some hair, you too can become the president of Motorola. He showed his phone, and he said, in China, the best-selling phone in China today is that new Motorola phone, the Motorola phone called Ming. Now, he speaks English. Chinese speakers know there are four ways to pronounce Ming. It's either Ming, 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 or Ming. Well, which one? So those that are Chinese speakers can say whether I just said something obscene or not, but the name they chose, Ming, is selling a telephone that has in it 13,000 Chinese characters. That's not this phone. This is a different phone. Let me show you what this phone is, and James is going to do a large demo on Friday with this. This is, I say, Savage. We ran out of words that began with J, so now we're randomly putting J in the middle of words so that we're able to get more names. So this is a phone, the developer version 2006. There are 800 of these on sale in the South Lobby for $200 a shot. Why is this interesting? Because those 13,000 characters that Ed has in the Ming phone are not anti-aliased. Doesn't support Swing, doesn't support Java 2D. Well, I could be wrong about that. This phone, which is a result of the JSR 209 process, that's extensions, more APIs, this phone, Java, there we are, this phone implements not only JSR 209 with anti-aliasing and Java 2D and Swing, question for James, can we have this that we just saw with Romain's application and his, at the end I was unsure, was that his road trip or his daily commute? It was a little bit hard to tell. Could we show that running on the device you, James, are going to show on Friday that has the development environment? So when you get the phone, you get the CD. You put the CD into a device, you load onto the phone a variety of things. One thing that James will tell you about how to do is when you start the phone up, press unlock too, there we go. This is James's animation. And you'll need to load this from James or from the booth, S-A-V-A-J-E, somewhere in the exhibition booth. Go find out about the development of an environment that is rich, rich, rich inside this phone, and which I presume we will find those billion devices that will sell in this coming year. when you have those billion devices with anti-aliased fonts, with 2D, with the entire swing capability, gamers, new applications, new capabilities, new beautiful things, animations, all the sorts of stuff that you could put into these devices will suddenly take on a new depth and dimension. So go check out the phone, and since there are only 800 of them, I think they're going to go pretty quickly. Now, what happens next? It's almost 11. You're going to go at 11 to your technical session. You're going to come back and say whether or not you could get in, because you're going to be back here for Graham Hamilton and Bill Shannon. They're going to talk about SE6, SE7, the roadmap of Java, and give you a sense for the rest of the week what sessions are the future of Java. What should you go to fully immerse yourself in Java? Welcome to Java 1. Let's go to technical sessions. Thank you very much.